Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I am Dory.
Hope you're all having a lovely post-Thanksgiving food coma slash shopping anxiety slash holiday weather worry, you know, all those things.
Or, you know, if you had a rough time with your family or you're estranged from your family, we see you too.
I don't.
Okay.
I think those of you who didn't enjoy time with your family are monsters.
Wow.
I mean, you only get one family, and thusly, you have to like them. Thank you.
We saw your family, and we saw my family.
We saw so many families.
Mm-hmm.
I did say to Henry...
Our son.
It's very strange to have said something to the child and then recounting it like he's a full person who I can have a conversation with. He's not. Mostly one way. But I was like, you know, you saw almost all of your cousins that week. Like just Selena.
Yeah.
My oldest niece who's 20.
Yeah.
One. I had to do the math. I was like, what year was she born? 2000. Now, what year is it?
Wow.
21. We did it, everybody.
We did it.
August 1st, I think. My mother will let me know if I'm right. She listens. Anyway, yeah. So, for those of you who don't remember or forgot about our holiday plans, I don't know why you people would have to have that in your head. We went to Florida. Saturday, we did a Saturday to Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really glad we did not do Sunday to Sunday.
Explain.
Because I was like knocked out today and I can't imagine like having to go right back to
work.
Work.
I mean, I didn't get rest today, if that's what anyone's wondering. We'll get into Henry's emotional state shortly. but yeah, so we did Orlando. We flew into Orlando, and then we were meeting Dory's family at a Club Med in somewhere. This was a trip that was planned in 2019. That was going to be May of 2020. And we all saw how May of 2020 went. So there was no trip. And we postponed it. And somehow we arrived on Thanksgiving week to be the week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was for Dory's parents' anniversary.
No, it was for their... It was supposed to be for their 70th and 75th birthdays.
Uh-oh.
Which were both in 2020.
Gotcha. I thought it was for their anniversary.
No.
No.
They have a big one coming up, though, in 2024.
Which one's that?
5-0, baby.
Wow. They are way behind my parents.
Yep.
I guess, you know, when you don't get married in your teens, it's hard to compete.
Yeah. They knew each other for 4 years before they got married.
Well, your father was just probably trying to assess whether your mother could tolerate him.
Yeah. Jury's still out.
TBD!
But we...
So we'll get to Club Med in a second, but on the first side of things, let's give a big old thank you to Nassim Egghead.
Egghead Nassim Kansari. Woo!
Slash...
Do you have a cheering sound?
Honey,
over
no,
there?
I don't. I don't. All I have is that air horn.
Oh, the air horn's pretty good.
And then I'd have to make sure that things work and this is going to here.
Okay, all right.
It's a whole thing, okay, but I can probably get it to happen. Hang on. Let's see here. Yeah. Thanks, Nassim. No, really. She's one of these, you know, you hear about these, what do they call them?
Disney travel agents.
There you go. Who, for some reason, I don't understand their kickback. Like, it's, personally?
It's from the... They get a commission from hotel bookings.
Okay. Because it doesn't cost you, the trip goer, anything.
Correct.
To use a travel agent.
Correct. Yes.
So, I was like, someone's paying them. I don't know who. Whatever. Point is, it's not you. But let me tell you, we were at Disney, the busiest time of the year. I mean, it was bananas busy.
Bananas busy.
As we thought it might be. And then, like, I didn't realize it until we were going in there, but I was like, oh, D23 is happening.
Which is, like, a big fan convention.
It's the big fan convention that was happening on Saturday and Sunday, and we got there on Saturday. And then it was Thanksgiving week, which is, you know, slammed. But as I said to Dory, and I'll say it to all the people out there, because of Nassim's planning and fervor to attempt to use Disney Genie.
Yeah.
Just,
you know, their basically their new fast pass system.
For research purposes. Our day was sort of like plotted out. And because of that, we were just going from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. So it doesn't matter how busy the park was, really, because we had a destination, it just became like background noise.
Yeah. I feel like I remember one time before we knew of Nassim, I was like, maybe we should use a Disney travel agent. And you were like,
No, I'm the only travel agent we need for Disney World.
Yes. But now I feel like you understand the utility of a travel agent.
I do and I don't.
Okay.
I understand the utility of Nassim.
Okay.
But the other rest of the industry I'm confused by.
She also helped us get very difficult to get dining reservations.
What? You mean the only good meal I had?
Yes.
Guys, we've gone for 1 week, full week, and I only had one meal that was good. And it was a breakfast, character breakfast at the terrace there. Topolino, whatever the hell. What is it called?
Topolino's Terrace.
Yeah, at the
Riviera.
In Disney. And it was like a sausage hash breakfast situation. It was the, like, honest to God, it was the only food I was like, this is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was fucking trash. I mean, you know how we feel about Disney food blog. And I'm sure we made a lot of mistakes. You know, AJ always says, don't go to that Italian restaurant at the front of the park.
Mm.
But we went there.
It was... The thing I did like about that, though, it's very peaceful.
It was fairly quiet at the front of the park somehow. And it was conveniently right next to Mickey Mouse.
Which Henry wanted to go see 4 times.
And he did, because there was weirdly no line over there.
I feel like people don't know about it. I didn't know about it.
You opened up Disney Genie.
Until the genie told me to go.
And he's like, go here. I'm a genie.
And I was like, okay.
But, like, we fast-passed, because of Henry, we fast-passed all these, like, rides you wouldn't normally think to fast-pass. Because you'd be like, oh, fast-pass, I'm going to use it for Splash Mountain and Space Mountain and Snow White. But because Henry is not that tall yet, I mean, he's 30-something inches.
38 inches, and, like, the...
40 is, like,
40 is most of the cutoffs.
We could have put lifts in his shoes, but instead, we were good parents, and... We're like, let's just do Henry things. Things Henry's going to want to do. So we used our fast pass for Dumbo. We used our fast pass for Pirates of the Caribbean. We used our fast pass for
Peter Pan.
And Henry loved all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time. Loved Dumbo.
Loved Dumbo.
Demanded the carousel the first second we walked into Fantasyland.
Yep.
Which we didn't have a fast pass for, but...
I don't even think you can get a fast pass for the carousel.
And he really, you know, it's hard to sort of drill into his head the concept of, we can't just do it again.
Yeah. Although we could just do the Mickey meet and greet again.
That one we could say yes to. And when we went in the second time, it was a separate... There were two rooms running at the same time. So when we went into the...
That were sort of the mirror image of each other.
Yeah, instead of making them the same blueprint, Imagineers had to go, let's just do a mirrored version. Which is just like, why?
It was
just, why?
Confusing.
Don't break my brain like that. Because I was like, what happened here? Is this part of the magician trick of Mickey? Or are there two concurrent Mickey Mouses shaking hands on opposite sides of rooms?
Kids, well, not listening. Shaking hands.
Yes, or waving hands. Kids listening, it's because Mickey is a magician. Everyone else, think about it.
Well, listen, this doesn't have to be a Disney podcast, but we did just want to catch everyone up. And if you are interested in talking to Nassim about your upcoming Disney vacation, she is Magic and Saffron on Instagram.
Well, I had such a stress-free trip to Disney that I have told Dory that I'd like to go back soon.
Yeah.
Like January.
It was also just like, Henry now, I think, really like gets it. And that's fun.
Well, I mean, the fact that he was on the plane saying he wanted to go to Mickey's house.
Well, I told, because I was like,
I was very confused.
I told him that that was where we were going. I said, we're going to Mickey's house.
Oh.
And he really ran with it.
He did run with it. He was like, we got to go to Mickey's house. We're going to Mickey's house, right? So he thinks Mickey lives in a theater on Main Street.
I mean.
Which is fine.
He's not wrong.
But yeah, he was really into Mickey Mouse, which I didn't expect because he's not really had too much exposure to Mickey Mouse. I guess he has a couple of t-shirts.
Yeah. But otherwise.
Otherwise, I don't. Well, I mean, maybe it's because like. Do you think it could be like that he's like absorbing the Disney food blog and like the Disney WDW News Tonight, like the stuff that I like listen to on the weekend mornings? No.
No.
Yeah. I just don't know where it came from. But he loved it. He had a great time. And, you know, we had a good time in as much as it wasn't stressful. And like, I forgot to take my antidepressants, like the time we were at Disney.
Yeah. And you weren't even that cranky.
I wasn't even that cranky because we knew where we were going.
I know.
It was unbelievable.
It was really nice.
Now, we then went to... Oh, and I got, you know, my parents came to Epcot with us. Mm-hmm. The soaking wettest Epcot I've ever been to.
It rained so hard.
Until like 1 o'clock, you know, because it's Orlando. Mm-hmm. Until like 1 o'clock, and then it was the most beautiful day.
Yeah.
But I had wet socks and wanted to go back to the hotel. Henry kept wanting to go home, which was interesting to hear from a child at Disney World. But he was also like, I think it's just, I don't know. He just wanted.
But he kept wanting to go to Mickey's house and also go on rides. And then in our hotel room, he tried to call Mickey from the phone.
Yes.
Which was another thing because like, Where is he getting the idea of what a phone is?
Of a landline. So he would pick up the hotel phone and hit the speaker phone and get the dial tone. And then you ask him what he's doing, and he's like, call Mickey. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, adorable. It was all very adorable. Then we went to Club Med. And then we came home. No, I said the company was lovely. Dory's great. Great to see Dory's family. Played 3 rounds of golf with Dory's father. Uh-huh. I mean, half a round of golf with Dory's brother.
Uh-huh.
Just the time, you know?
Yeah.
Got to hang out with all the cousins of Henry, the Henry cousins.
Yeah.
We also got to do it. On Tuesday, we got to see the cousins on my side of the family. And then Dory was like two days into our Club Med, she was like, you know, we could just leave really early on Saturday and go see your parents again. I was like, that's a good idea. We wouldn't have to be here. Because like by then, all the family had like set sail, and yeah. We were just like, well, do we really want to have the same breakfast again? It's a, you know, all-inclusive resort with one restaurant. That's a buffet. We've never seen such a thing. Even cruise ships give you the illusion of choice. Mm-hmm. I've never had more chicken nuggets in my life. Thanksgiving dinner, I didn't even have turkey because the line at the carving station was stupid. And I was like, no, not waiting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I believe I made a chicken nugget sandwich.
Yeah, I think you did.
Which I did almost every day. But, you know, second to last day going out there, I figured out I could fill the beer mugs, which are for beer only, with apple juice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is great. Let's stay here. Mm-hmm. Free apple juice.
Mm, living the dream.
Yeah. But then we dropped him off at day camp on Friday. And Henry decided that he didn't want to be at the day camp. And I got a call while I was on the golf course that Henry had been crying for an hour and a half, and that I should come pick him up. And I was like, he'll be right there. Luckily, I was on like the turnaround at the golf, so I just sped the golf cart out. And when I walked in, he was sad and saying, "Mama, come back. Mama, come back." And then when he saw me, he was like, "Dita, come back." And then he ran over and I picked him up and I signed him out. And then I spent the afternoon with him. And because it was vacation, he got to watch a lot of YouTube, which he loved too much.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then we went home the next day. And well, I mean, when would you say his emotional bedtimes started?
They had started before we left.
A little bit.
But I feel like they got...
The context of the emotional, quote-unquote, bedtimes before we left was more of a... Then I'll wake up in the morning and what will I do? Like more of a talk day, kind of a abbreviated talk morning thing.
Yeah. And now it's just, now it's Henry, wake up. Henry, wake up. And he gets really sad and starts crying.
It's like he's having an existential crisis about death every night.
Yeah.
And he's a 2-year-old and it's very weird and very heartbreaking. And like, I don't know. You don't know, you know, what do you do? Except reassure him that, yes, of course, you're going to wake up, and then the people you think will be there will be there.
And I've tried asking him, like, why he's sad, and I tell him...
He just says no.
It's okay to be sad, but he can't really articulate what it is that is making him so sad. But he's getting sad in the same way that he used to get emotional over lullabies.
Yes.
It's the same sort of instant, like, wave of emotion that hits him.
Yeah. And then he just looks at you with the saddest eyes you've ever seen.
The saddest eyes.
And it's just like,
what? Henry, wake up! And it, like, his little face is like shaking.
Starts to quiver.
Yeah.
And then, you know. And then today I was in my office and Dory had texted me. But because of the way text messages come in, I didn't get the one that says, don't come in the house. So, apparently, after his nap, Dory... You know, we have Holly come on Sundays in the afternoon after his nap so that Dory and I can record the podcast. He's in bed now. We didn't get a chance to record because Henry wouldn't let me leave.
Mm-hmm.
He kept getting the sad face. And, you know, I was like, in my head, existentially, I was just like, well, I can stay in here now. Like, there's nothing really preventing me from spending the rest of the afternoon with you. And because I'm going back to work tomorrow, and then I'm directing, you know, the next two episodes of the Goldbergs after this week, I'm like, I'm not going to see him very much for the next, you know, month.
Yeah.
So why don't I knock out, you know, I had a lot of good quality time with him over the vacation. So, you know, I'm like a little bit, whoa, is this too much quality time? Because he seems to be very attached now in a way that he wasn't necessarily prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was like, so this afternoon, I just kind of was like, oh, you know, what do you need? Of course. Yeah, I'll go in the playroom with you. Sure. Well, let's do it. Okay. And then we built a gingerbread house that he was like talking about whether or not the people inside were home. I'm going to open the door. He's like, people gone?
Oh.
Open garage. And I'm like, it's not a garage, but I guess the side wall of a house is a garage to Henry. But yeah, he was very clingy and didn't want me to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And like when I went out into the living, into the kitchen from our bedroom, he was saying, "Mama, come back again." And then he saw me and he said, "Dita, come back." And he ran to me and he gave me like the tightest hug he's ever given me in his life. Like wrapped both arms around my neck. It was very strange.
Buddy.
I was like, what is going on with you?
I think he's...
We accept you, Henry.
I think that it's partly just like the disorientation of travel.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we were in two different places. Like, the flight was long.
But he was great.
He was great, especially on the way back. We ended up buying the expensive travel car seat. I have no regrets.
What someone had recommended.
It's called the Waby Pico.
Yeah. Didn't move.
It was like so easy to carry around the airport.
Super light.
Super light.
Folds up to a pretty easy size. I figured out a way you could just hook it onto your rolling suitcase.
And sets up, like once you get the hang of it, sets up pretty easily.
Yeah, in a second. He stayed there the whole, like literally the whole 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
Much to his diaper's detriment.
poor guy was soaked.
But did he care? No, because Super Wings and trucks and Rachel.
Yeah. Wait, I was going to say something else.
I left my iPad on the plane. If you've seen it and you're on a Delta flight, let me know.
No, that wasn't it. Anyway, we should take a break.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look. They finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
Same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number 1, 2, and 3 most requested items in homeless shelters, and that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking
yarns. The light bulb's going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Okay, we're done yammering, I think. Are we?
Before we get to listener emails and voicemails, etc., I just want to remind everyone that they can email us at DoreenMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com, and you can call us at 413-461-BABY.
All true.
Or you can also text us at 413-461-BABY.
That also works.
On the last episode, which was 2 weeks ago, I recommended a book called Tuesday Mooney Talks to Ghosts.
Yes. Big, big response from this.
And
Gretchen Berg, who's probably listening right now.
Hi, Gretchen.
She was like, you got to tell Dory that I'm already on board with this author and I cannot wait to read this. And then she immediately bought the book. And, you know, just, I mean, the brilliant minds think alike here, apparently. She's into it. You're into it. Who else is into it, Dory?
Well, this anonymous person who wrote Tuesday Mooney is so good. Thank you. I've also been getting some Instagram DMs about it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you are not on the Tuesday Mooney train yet, get on the train with us.
Hop on. Toot, toot.
Chugga. Anyway, it's so good. I'm like jealous of the people who get to read it for the first time.
That's always a fun feeling.
Yeah.
Like when you like something that much and you're jealous of people who get to watch it or see it.
Yeah.
Again, or read it for the first time. The chugga chugga thing you just did reminded me of the fact that tonight was the first night of Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. And Dory got candles, wrapped up Henry's first night of Hanukkah gift, which was a set of 5 Matchbox cars.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so excited about the cars. And the first thing he decided he was going to do with his imaginative play was put them all at a red light.
Well, no. First he said, he opened and he said, cars.
Yes, he was very excited.
And then once he took that,
then he told us, you know, he went through the colors of the cars.
And then he said, cars, vroom, vroom.
Yes.
And then he lined them all up, and then he said they were all at a red light.
Yeah. And then the light turned green. And the cars were going.
Yeah.
And then they stopped at another red light.
Yeah.
He's very LA about his car play. But I was like, this is very funny that the first thing you're doing with your Matchbox cars is obeying traffic patterns.
Classic Henry. He is a rule follower.
I mean, society's rules mostly, not ours. He seems to be.
That's true.
Really testing his boundaries as of late.
That is.
He's 2.5. What are you going to do?
He's 2.5. Okay. Our first message is from Ramekin Queer. Remember her?
Yes, I do.
Her name is actually Victoria, and she writes, hello, long time no message. I'm responding to the boob signal. I'm an IBCLC and am writing an inclusive feeding book, manuscript due next month. I think this mom has something called functional pain. Look into the research of / consult with Dr. Allison Stubbe, who researches complex breast pain. Hope that helps. Victoria, in 1,600 square feet, 2 adults, a 3-year-old, and 2 hairless cats, 4 hot dogs, 15 pigs in blankets.
Oh, hot dog count. I had one at Casey's Corner.
Mm.
You know, the hot dog place at the end of Main Street. And then I tried one at the buffet and it was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very bad hot dog. I don't know what kind of hot dog it was,
mm-hmm.
but that brand, I wouldn't buy it if I were you. So call Club Med in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Find out what hot dog they're making.
And don't get
it. And
that
don't
one.
Get it.
All right.
Did you forward that information to the previous, to the person who asked?
No.
Or is this your first
relaying
of it?
This is my first relaying of it.
We're sorry that you had to sit through 2 weeks of extra pain.
Wow.
Because we decided to take a Thanksgiving break.
Okay, this next email is from Allison. It is also about boobs. Hey guys, I had to pause when I heard the email from Jill about going back to work after having a baby. I 100% agree with Dory about how pumping and breastfeeding in general may be affecting her desire to be at work. Pumping is such an all-consuming pain and is a constant reminder that you're away from your baby all day instead of being able to feed him and bond with him yourself. Once I stopped pumping and breastfeeding, my son self-weaned at 10 months old. It was a lot easier to concentrate on work and not be constantly between worlds with my body at work, but my brain, heart, and hormones all focused on the baby. I also recommend seeing a professional about possible postpartum anxiety, which may be presenting as distracting or racing thoughts. Given the issues during and immediately after pregnancy, there may be some things there to explore with a professional, of which I am not, so take that with a grain of salt. Best of luck, Allison, with two science babies, one husband, no pets, in 3,600 square feet outside Richmond, Virginia.
I really thought you were saying 3,600 hot dogs.
No hot dogs lately.
Wow.
My two toddlers don't like them anymore. I'm not sad.
3,600 hot dogs would be like, what if it was Joey Chestnut writing in?
That would be like 10 hot dogs a day.
Joey Chestnut. Constantly winning that hot dog eating championship.
Yep. Yep, yep. Good for him.
He's got to be infertile, right? He's probably listening.
He's probably.
I mean, it can't be that good to be putting that many nitrates into your body.
He's probably about to die.
He's actually in decent shape.
So he thinks.
He's just, he's just developed the stomach muscle.
Right.
To ingest 800 hot dogs a second, I think, is the actual number.
I was talking about this with someone else, actually.
Joey Chestnut?
No, not hot dogs, about pumping and breastfeeding and how you still feel like it's just so all consuming. So, yeah. I mean, yes, Allison agrees with me. I agree with Allison.
Thank you.
Matt, do you want to read this next email? Oh, you're not ready.
How?
I will read this email and you can read the next one. This is from Lauren. Longtime listener, first time emailer. I'm writing for two reasons. One, in response to an email last week from someone who did reciprocal IVF with their partner and ended up having their baby 6 weeks early, they mentioned that their doctor had said perhaps it's related to the fact that perhaps it was an autoimmune response. My wife and I did reciprocal IVF 2 years ago, and I ended up getting pregnant after three prior transfers with our amazing son. I, too, ended up in PPROM, preterm premature rupture of membranes, and had our son 10 weeks early. The doctors studied the placenta but found no information about why I went into early labor. So while I can't exactly answer her question, it is interesting that I had a similar outcome of an early labor. It was a long 2 months in the NICU that I wish upon no one, but our son is now thriving. Two, additionally, I figured I might as well put out the embryo signal. We are working on number two. This time we are hoping to do the reverse, my wife carrying my embryo. Going to this process, we had five PGS-tested embryos from when I was 34. For our first transfer, our first embryo didn't survive the thaw, so we transferred a different one. That transfer failed, but later we did the ERA and found out we needed to adjust timing. The second transfer, our first embryo did not thaw great, and so we decided to transfer that one and one additional one, and that failed.
We now have one embryo left from that same round and could not believe it has not yet resulted in a pregnancy. And frankly, we're surprised we had two of four that really did not survive the thaw. So my question is, one, this is actually all subsection, this because this is part, this is two. So this is 2A. Has anyone had such an experience with more than one embryo not thawing well or recovering from thaw? And what did they do? And 2B, our doctor thinks if our last embryo doesn't work, he wants to try a fresh transfer because perhaps my embryos aren't recovering well from either the PGS biopsy or freeze and thaw. Has anyone had this experience? That seems like a blanket excuse that doctors who don't know what's going wrong throw at things. RE, like RE. IE.
Well,
Just, you know, the thaw, the biopsy, you know, they're shaving one cell off the fucking thing. It shouldn't be that damaging. I mean, sure, when you have like five cells total, whatever. Anyway, I'm not a scientist, obviously. That's Lauren from the Bay Area, 1,700 square feet, two adults, one science toddler, one very hungry puggle, maybe four hot dogs this year. Well, your hot dog intake is quarterly, it sounds, so I accept. So those signals are out.
Yep.
2A, 2B, and number one in different order. Mm-hmm. Now, this is from Tracy. Hello. I wrote in recently about struggling to have second lasting pregnancy and doing everything under the sun without success. Matt correctly assumed that I had gotten at least one second opinion. I was with a total of four REs at my previous clinic and switched to CNY and was treated by another RE and NP. Let's just read the one sentence again. Matt correctly assumed, finally. I did it. I'm so excited that I did it that I feel like I need a air horn. Thank you. All right. I wanted to update you and let you know my 12th embryo transfer worked. Oh, hang on. 6 weeks and 2 days. We saw and heard a heartbeat yesterday. Obviously, not out of the woods yet, but the last time we made it this far, we got to take a baby home at the end. We didn't change much about the protocol of this recent transfer. This, however, was our first fresh embryo transfer with an embryo that was created with our new clinic. We had shipped embryos from our former clinic. Also, this transfer, we did not do an HCG wash or a PRP wash. I was happy to save the $350, and my new RE said he preferred transferring into a dry uterus. Cool. The one last thing different was he started me on metformin the day of transfer. I do not have classic PCOS markers, but I did create a lot of follicles and eggs, so he thought it might help. I do create, rather. I'm not sure if one of those things actually made a difference. It was really just a numbers game, and I just kept had to keep going, and one would eventually stick again. Anyway, just wanted to share with you and give you some hope that anyone out there who feels like they are just throwing a handful of embryos at their uterus in hopes that one will finally stick. That's Tracy, Buffalo, New York, 1,600 square feet, finished basement completed. When I was told I would never be returning to an office due to the pandemic. Well, I hope that your employer keeps their word and doesn't magically suddenly decide they need you in the office because they're paying rent for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? Right?
What?
Why are people needing people to get back in the office?
I think there's a lot of managers out there who are kind of insecure and feel like they need to have FaceTime with their employees.
And schedule it with Zoom. Have FaceTime with everybody all week. If that's all you have to do, manage people, then that's how you manage people.
Look, I'm just saying what I've gathered from. It's a control thing, I think, for a lot of employers.
Well, it's just like a weird, you know. Like, I would get it if, like, there were studies across the board where, like, productivity's down and nothing is
well, that's apparently the way. That's what all these junior bankers on Wall Street are saying. They're like, wait, we just had like our best year ever during the pandemic, or not best ever, but like clearly our working from home did not prevent us from doing our jobs, and like a lot of them now are refusing to come in.
As they should.
And the banks are like, well, wait a second, but
But we have all this office space.
And we have so much money.
Get over yourselves, people. By people, of course, I mean corporations who are technically people thanks to a terrible Supreme Court ruling. Now, on to an email from Anonymous. Hi, Dory and Matt. Wondering if you or fellow listeners can offer advice. I have a 19-month-old science baby, and right before we went to in for blood work to get ready to try another transfer, it turns out I am pregnant. Of course, we're happy, but also I'm beside myself with nerves. Our embryos were PGS tested, and obviously we have no sense of what's up with this pregnancy other than my levels are all rising, and with a loss in our rearview mirror as well as the roller coaster of IVF, so hard to trust that my body can do this quote-unquote naturally. I have so little faith that it can accomplish a healthy pregnancy without science. I have PCOS, so a natural pregnancy is not impossible, but so unlikely that I can't help but constantly fear that something's going to go wrong. Any tips for listeners who have had one science baby and then one non-science baby? How do I just trust the process? It's from an anonymous New York. 3,000 square feet. Whoa! In New York? Wow. Husband, 19 month old son who really would like a dog. We don't have one yet. I mean, you know, what do I have to say to this? It's like, there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. And just because you've been doing it one way all this time doesn't mean that the other way doesn't work. It just means that you were doing it the very expensive and long way.
Yes.
Trusting your body. I mean, look, you know your body better than anybody. You know your body can probably surprise you.
Yeah.
It can also be a dick.
Yep.
So let's just hope it surprises you this time.
I like that. I like the way you frame that.
That's what I'm here for, you know? Reframing narratives left and right.
Do you listen to Forever 35?
I do not, because I know one of the hosts.
Oh, I see.
And I'm like, I don't want to ruin actual conversation with my wife by listening to this podcast. I want to save it for our podcast. Another anonymous person writing in. I'll tell you what they have to say. Here goes. Hey there. Been a long time listener to the podcast, but sadly I stopped listening. All right. Well, then I'm done with this email. When the subject matter became more personal. My wife and I have been doing fertility treatments for 2 years now and off and on. We had to stop for a few months this year because of the emotional toll it put on my wife. When we did do the IUI and wouldn't get pregnant, we started off again with more shots of medicine from before. Alas, the IUI still not working out for us. We're starting discussions about IVF now, but we won't be able to do it at a clinic in the state because of weight requirements. My wife has PCOS and some other medicinal issues that do not make it easy to lose weight. And on a side note, I really need to lose weight too, and we're working on it, but we don't want to stop trying, and we found an IVF clinic in New York that's not posing the same limitations. Apparently, their feeling on weight and infertility is that weight doesn't play as much of a factor into conceiving as other experts say. First question is, in your experience, what is the real consensus on this? Secondly, here's my consensus on this right now. I'll tell you this. This is purely empirical data. We were just in Disney World. And I don't think weight is stopping anybody from having children. Thank you. Wife is like, she couldn't move further away from the mic. It's amazing. I love it. Anyway, she's in therapy and she's handling it in her own way. Not Dory. This is back to the reader's email. Dory is no longer in therapy for some reason. I want to do more, but I don't listen to Forever 35, so maybe she said it on there. Tune in next week to find out. I want to do more, but I know that there really isn't anything I can do except be there for her. But that feels like a cop-out. Any advice? Thank you for considering listening to my questions if just I'll let you deal with these feelings. Matt, ain't no reason you and Kevin can't get on Zoom. and shell out some more talk salad and scrambled eggs. Just saying. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for writing in. So, yes, that is, I will, where do I start with that? I mean, I start with what I said.
You stand by it.
I stand by my statement. It does not seem to be stopping anyone from having children.
My thoughts on this are, I think, phrased a little bit more eloquently than Matt's, perhaps more diplomatically than Matt's, but I think that this is bullshit. And I think this is, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think sometimes when
we did, because of the, you know, your every other condition under the sun is like, right. Well, you're also overweight. So
right,
fix like, that, then we'll talk.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is a blanket generalization. I'm going to preface this by saying, I know this is a blanket generalization and I'm going to get a lot of emails that say hashtag not all doctors, but I do think that a lot of doctors are a little fat phobic.
Well, I get it. As a fat person who's also afraid of myself.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's deep, isn't it?
That is.
Probably not. I get it in the sense of like, well, I mean, you're just thinking of like a guitar that needs like, you know, maybe its problem is like a volume pot's not working, but like also it desperately needs a neck reset and the bridge is lifting off and this finish is cracking and it's just like, well, I mean, let's start with the big thing first and do the neck reset. But then it's like, well, that's not my problem right now. My problem is actually this volume pot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's like, well, don't you want to be playing this thing? You know, I'll fix the volume pot for you, but this neck is going to be a problem. We got to fix it. It's like, well, no, just fix the thing I want fixed.
Mm-hmm. I would go to this clinic in New York that is not posing the same limitations. Look, I'm not a doctor.
Not yet.
But
she's got two master's degrees.
I think a lot of these weight limitations
spent enough time in school to be a doctor
are arbitrary and pointless.
Thank you, and good day.
Yep.
And please start listening to the podcast now with the subject matter becoming more personal. Thank you.
All right, we need to take another break.
Okay, be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Back at it, everyone. Hello.
Hello. All right. This next listener, whose name is Dawn, wrote in to say, because of you sharing about having one for Henry, I'm considering a Pickler triangle as a Christmas gift for our baby girl. She will be 8.5 months at Christmas. I've seen infant triangles that say for 8 to 24 months, up to 50 pounds, and a taller preschool size for 3 to 5 years, up to 65 pounds. When Henry first started using his as a baby, I have the impression and maybe memory of an Instagram photo that you had the larger size. Is my memory/assumption correct? Would you recommend the smaller infant size first or just jumping straight to the larger size for babies? And will you remind me what age Henry started using his or used it the most? Is it worth the money in your opinion? Thanks so much for any direction you can give. Keep up the good work. My Mondays are brighter knowing I get an update on Henry Beau and your beautiful family. Much love, Don, living in 4,500 square feet in Oklahoma.
Don, you got the space for the big one.
With one supportive husband, 3 awesome stepkids, 1 long-awaited science baby, and 2 smart for their own good golden doodles. Approximately 7 hot dogs in 2021, which includes one from Costco. And I thought of Matt as I ate it. P.S. Book Corner update. Dory, I consider myself a late bloomer too. Example, first baby at 41 years old. I pre-ordered your book, Thanks for Waiting, in August of 2020, and it is currently patiently waiting on my nightstand. I really can't wait to read it. Just as soon as this baby allows me some reading time again, she's just starting to consistently sleep through the night, so there's hope. Plus, I bought, read, and enjoyed Start Up a Novel before I was pregnant.
Everybody should purchase a Dory Shaffir book prior to pregnancy and another one after.
Oh, I should mention, did I mention this on this podcast already, that you can order a signed and inscribed copy of Thanks for Waiting for the Holidays from Book Soup, but you have to order by December 3rd?
No.
Yeah. So you have What are you looking
at? I'm like, this what's that podcast, look for? You've got 4 days, people.
Yeah, you have 4 days. So I'll put a link to this in the show notes. There's a special link from Book Soup, which is a wonderful independent bookstore here in Los Angeles. So you'd be supporting me. You'd be supporting Book Soup. You'd be supporting the publishing industry. You'd be supporting Matt.
Yeah, probably somehow.
Anyway, if you haven't bought my book yet, that's fine. But you can buy it now, and I'll inscribe it however you want. And
almost however you want.
And it's also a great gift for a friend, so, or a family member.
Yeah, I would say Dory can't recommend her own book enough.
It's true.
Now back to the Pickler Triangle.
I would say get the preschool size,
which would be the what size? Is that
the bigger one? Yeah.
Is that the one Henry had?
Yeah.
Okay. Henry started using that when we moved into this house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was almost a year.
He was 9 months old?
Yeah.
10 months old?
So right about the same age.
Yeah.
And he never really had a problem with it.
No.
I
feel like we should take it back out.
I don't know. He spent a lot of the playroom time today jumping off of the couch, counting down.
I see what you're
jumping
saying.
Onto the.
I see what you're saying.
And like hitting his head on various things.
Mm.
He like ran around the house with a giant number 3 balloon and clonked his head nearly on the marble, but he wasn't quite tall enough to hit that. So it was on the wood.
Oh boy.
He's like. I don't know. Like previously, we were calling him a tiny tyrant. Like now, he's like fucking Evel Knievel with emotional blackmail built in. Anyway, now here we go. So that's it, Don. Get it. Get the big one. You got the space and a couple labradoodles and a fine choice of hot dog. Now, Dory, I believe you have a schedule for a voicemail.
I do.
Which we will be set up for momentarily. Let me know when you're all plugged in. And I will hit the buttons
all right.
required.
I'm ready to go.
Buttons have been hit.
Hello. I am calling. I paused the pod. This is one of the few times I actually have something to contribute as one of your childless by choice listeners. But I'm calling in relationship to the ADHD conversation. I am also ADHD. And I agree with the other caller that I think it's really important for anybody with an ADHD brain to learn how our brains work and how our brains work differently than the norm, and both why that creates challenges for us and also why that like makes us kind of have super brains. And so I agree, for sure. One thing, everybody's recommending books, but, as someone else with ADHD, a book is not going to work for me because I'm never going to read it. Like, I'm going to, at best, buy it, and it's going to sit on my coffee table forever. So one thing that's been really extremely helpful for me lately is I've recently started seeing a therapist. She's not, like, a coach. She's an actual licensed therapist, but she specializes in people with executive functioning issues like autism and ADHD, and she has been incredibly, incredibly helpful. Thank you. For me, she understands how my brain works, and she helps me create real workable strategies that actually help me deal with the stuff that
she's already multitasking.
It affects in my life, right? Because there are plenty of reasons why ADHD might be hard for some other people that they aren't for me, but the important thing is for us to realize like how it is affecting our lives. So yeah, sorry. Again, extremely long-winded. Hello, we all have ADHD and can't stop talking. but the point is that I think it would be really helpful. I found, like I said, she's an actual therapist, but she specializes in people with executive functioning issues. So maybe looking for someone like that. There are also just like coaches that work with people with ADHD, but I just don't know how much regulation there is in that aspect. So personally, I looked for somebody who had a therapy background. But yeah, she's been amazing. And, I think potentially based on the things that Matt has said about what his therapist has said about his ADHD, sounds like his therapist has been really helpful in a lot of ways in his life, but maybe not so much with the ADHD. It sounds like he maybe has some, slightly outdated views on how ADHD actually works and how our brains actually work.
She called back.
Of course she did. I'm surprised you remembered. I would have forgot.
Hi, this is Megana again. I was trying so hard to not get cut off, and I should have known I was going to get cut off. But yeah, that's basically the end of what I was trying to say is, I think it sounds like Matt's therapist is great and has been really helpful for him, but maybe is not the person to help him in this area of his life. And, it might be worthwhile to seek out somebody else for that. By the way, my therapist is completely covered by insurance and everything, so I pay nothing out of pocket to see her. That is me. Megana, I am a Patreoner. Feel free to use this for the Patreon episode.
Oh my God, it's Megana? I've been saying Megana.
I am in Illinois, just outside of Chicago, in about 1,200 square feet.
Thank you, Megana.
With me and three dogs of my own and a rotating cast of characters as I am a dog sitter. So I usually have a bunch of pups here, and no hot dogs for me this year, but countless hot dogs for the dogs. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
What do you think about that?
I'm blown away by the name pronunciation and how wrong I've been doing it. Thank you. That's all I'm taking away from this.
Wow.
What do I think about? My therapist has recommended people that specialize in ADHD. Like, my therapist is not out of date, first of all. Let me just, not that anyone. He's great. But, like, when he says something about how ADHD, if you're interpreting it as, like, he's saying that your ADHD and thusly this might not be helpful for you. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, I know your brain and how your brain works. Like, meaning like your personality, and like, he knows me very well. Like, I've been seeing him for, I don't know, half
six
a
years.
Decade. That's not before I started working on Goldberg. So
6 years.
At least. Yeah. It's crazy. So, like, when he says something like, it's not like he's saying, like, clinically this won't work for someone with this. He's saying, Matt, I don't know how into that you're going to be. Yes, a notification just happened, Dory, on my computer. Everybody heard it. You don't have to, like, make gestures at my computer. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway. But hearing that from Megana, maybe I'll reconsider just to crack open another part of my brain.
I think, I mean, at the very least, I think it would be an interesting conversation.
I like conversations.
You know? I mean, think about how a little thing like the time timer did for you. What?
I think it's time timer for Dory to go to bed.
What am I talking about? Okay, you know,
yes.
What? We are going to put a pin in the discussion of how to get a 2-year-old to wear a mask.
Okay, but we will come back to that.
We will come back to it. And I just want to say that Kathy also wants to thank us for the cream cheese tip for dogs and pills.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Way to go, dogs who love cream cheese.
And then we have one more question from Kay in South Carolina.
Yes.
Who is going to Vegas next month.
Nice.
And will be meeting friends with varying degrees of disposable income.
Sure, yeah.
Can you recommend a place on the Strip for dinner that is casual and won't break the bank?
Casual dinner, won't break the bank on the Strip.
Maybe casual. Momofuku?
Eh, I feel like it's a little pricier than it needs to be.
But everything on this trip is pricier than it needs to be.
I mean, in relation to other restaurants on the Strip.
But it's, I mean, it's not one of the more expensive restaurants on the Strip.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
What are you looking for?
Me?
You're looking for the loudest place possible? Then send them to Momofuku. Do you want to be at a table 40 feet from your friend across the, from you while a cooked duck is dropped in front of you and you have to yell over each other to get a piece of it? Then take them there.
Wow.
Would you like a nice sit
down? Okay, we get it.
I would say go to Giada's restaurant. Which is central strip wise. It's across from Bellagio at the Cromwell.
Oh no, the Cromwell, yeah.
Near the Link.
Near the Link.
I hear great things about it. I've never actually been there myself.
That's a good suggestion.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And if you're like, well, maybe not that, guess what? Go back across the street to Caesar's Palace. Mm-hmm. And have an enjoyable, great meal. Actually reasonably priced at Gordon Ramsay Pub and Grill inside Caesar's Palace. Not nearly as expensive as Hell's Kitchen or Gordon Ramsay Steak. But still a fine meal. And I believe his world famous sticky toffee pudding is on the menu. Thank you. Next.
All right. Well, this brings us to the end of the show.
Great job, everybody. Hey, guess what? It's the 28th. We have two more podcasts to record before the month is up. How are we going to do it? Tune in to find out. And if you really want to find out, join the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/excellentadventure. Just a huge thanks to all those people who are still supporting us over there and keeping us engaged and podcasting. If you want to get more episodes of us, God help you, but there's a shit ton there.
All right. Thank you to the following people.
Yes. Nancy Powell, thank you.
Nikki Bossert.
Paul Sharp.
Paula.
Penny from Massachusetts.
R. Ham.
Rachel Silver.
Robert Olson.
Robin Kilgo.
Sabrina Stern.
Sadie Messa.
Sarah Dauberman.
Sarah Dauberman.
Sarah Prager.
Sarah Friedman.
Sarah L.
Sarah Swift.
Sherry Olson.
SJV.
Steve Harcourt.
Tanya Lemos. Tonya Lemos. I see. You know.
Tanya Kershemin.
The Halderman Clan.
The Kembles.
Tracy Jury.
Whitney Hoffman.
Amanda Powell.
Two anonymous people.
Ainsley.
Brianne Hudson.
Cheryl Quick.
Christina.
Claire Dealey.
Crescent Martin.
Crypto Matt.
Danielle Nusiforo.
Deanna McLean.
Eleanor Powell.
Elizabeth Kamani.
And Elizabeth K.
There you go. Ellen F.
Emily Harden.
Freya.
Gita Drury.
Heather.
Jane Ennis.
Jennifer Sika.
Jennifer T. Brennan.
Jesse Fisher.
Jesse Labadee.
Karen Perelman.
Katie Allen.
Karen. Not Karen. Who's Karen? Carrie L.
Christine Kelly.
Laura Bennett.
Laura Madge.
Lauren Gregory.
Lauren Schultz.
Lynn Nugent.
Madeline McCarthy.
Mara Foss.
Mary Messick.
Mary Mira.
Yes.
Melanie Bronbeck.
Melissa.
Meryl H.
Michelle Salm.
Nicola Hill.
Nicholas Skidmore.
Nicole Mustafa.
Oshrat Kaplan.
Rachel Kuzma.
Rob Bean.
Samantha.
Shauna Mandel.
Sir Reginald Pennybottom.
Steph Goralnik.
Susanna Perez.
The Byersies.
And of course, Wendy Fick. Thank you.
Thank you all so very much.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye.